as with last Lord's Day evening, verse 16 is our text for tonight as we continue to consider Joseph of Nazareth and conclude our message upon this man and his life, the man who was chosen to be the earthly father of the Lord Jesus. For there in Matthew 1 verse 16 we read, "And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." Now, last Lord's Day evening, you recall that we considered Joseph and his reverence for the Lord Jesus. Everything that Joseph did was in relation to the Lord Jesus Christ. Joseph reverenced the Lord. That is seen in the fact that Joseph was a spiritual man. He was a holy man, and he was a heavenly man. He was a man who was in touch with God, not only during the day having Emmanuel in his own home, but he was in touch with God in his dreams, communicating with heaven through the angel of the Lord. And then we noted also not only the reverence of a spiritual man, but the reverence of a surrendered man. He was surrendered to the will of God. He was surrendered to the ways of God. And he was surrendered to waiting upon God. And so this man's life was ruled and governed by the Lord and his word. Wherever the Lord sent him, that's where he went. Even though he had to leave home and go down into Egypt and abide there for as long as the Lord wanted him there, Joseph was willing to do that. He was completely surrendered to the will and the ways of God. And then we noted also the reverence of a silent man. Joseph, according to Scripture, didn't say very much. When he was sent down into Egypt, there were no words of complaint. There was no argument. There was no chiding with the Lord. He went without uttering one word of complaint. And the only word that we're told that came from the lips of Joseph, as far as the Scripture and the Gospel records are concerned, is the word Jesus. Because Joseph was the one who named the Christ child. As we read there in verse 25 of Matthew 1, "And he knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." And so the only word that Scripture records coming from the lips of Joseph is the name Jesus, which really would indicate to us that that name was often upon his lips. Having the Christ child in his home, how many times would Joseph have used the name and spoken the name of the Lord Jesus? And we applied it to our own hearts and to our own ways, that it ought to be the same with us, that the name of the Lord Jesus should often be upon our lips. And that brought us then, we weren't able to develop and complete this point last week, not only Joseph and his reverence for Christ, but we want tonight to look in a deeper way at Joseph and his relationship with Christ. A few verses that we have in Scripture speaks about Joseph, that speaks about Joseph, reveals his relationship. And Joseph had a very unique and close relationship with the Lord Jesus. That is obvious by the fact that the Lord Jesus was in Joseph's home. And so Joseph saw Christ every day. And we noted the presence of Christ in his life. As we said at the beginning, Christ coming into the life of Joseph changed his life dramatically. Joseph was never the same, because from that point on, everything he did, it had to be done for the Lord Jesus and for his sake. And that led us to consider his witness, because every verse in the Gospels that referred to Joseph, he is mentioned in relation to the Lord Jesus. Even those verses outside of the first two chapters of Matthew and the first two chapters of Luke. You turn, please, to John chapter 1, just as an example. And there in John 1, and verse 45, Philip findeth Nathanael, and saith unto him, We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. You see the relationship. Joseph, of course, the earthly father, not the real father of Christ, but nevertheless, you see here in the verse, Christ and Joseph are mentioned together. If you go on over in John's Gospel to chapter 6, John 6 and verse 42, they've listened to the Lord Jesus speak, and they said, Is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? But once more, Jesus and Joseph are mentioned in the same verse. And so it is also in Luke chapter 4, where the Lord began his ministry in Nazareth. He went into the synagogue, he preached, and people marveled at the gracious words that came from his lips. And they said, Is not this the son of Joseph? Christ and Joseph again. And also Matthew 13, verse 55, Is not this the carpenter's son? So we see that every verse in the Gospels, every verse in the Gospel where Joseph is found, it's always in connection with the Lord Jesus. Always. Joseph is never mentioned apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. And this surely emphasizes the relationship which Joseph had with Christ. The Lord Jesus was everything to Joseph. Joseph could say, He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. So it ought to be with us. That whenever anyone mentions our name or speaks about us, it ought to be that when they think of us or use our name or mention our name, they think immediately of the Lord Jesus. They say, Oh, that man or that woman knows the Lord. They're Christians. I see Christ in their countenance. I see Christ in their conduct. I hear Christ in their conversation. So it was with Joseph and his relationship with the Lord Jesus. We mentioned that the words of Isabel Dixon, the woman who was to become the wife of Andrew Bonner, when she met Robert Murray McShane. They're wonderful words, they're worth repeating. When she met McShane, this is how she described the meeting. There was something singularly attractive about Mr. McShane's holiness. It was not his matter nor his manner either that struck me. It was just the living epistle of Christ. A picture so lovely, I felt I would have given all the world to be as he was. The marvelous witness McShane had. That when people saw McShane, they saw Christ. When they talked with McShane, they heard of Christ. And when Isabel Dixon saw him at Sheehan, he was so like Christ, she said she felt she could have given all the world to be even as he was, to be like McSheehan, Christ-like. Oh, may we have a witness like that. We notice also Joseph's worth. Joseph is known by what he was to Jesus Christ. Take away the Lord Jesus. I remember this being said, reading it somewhere regarding John the Baptist. And someone said, you cannot understand the life of John the Baptist apart from Jesus Christ. In other words, John the Baptist lived for Christ. He was Christ's forerunner. It's mentioned in the Old Testament as Christ's witness and his forerunner. And he came into this world for the sole purpose of preparing the way for the Lord Jesus. You can't understand the life of John the Baptist if you take Christ out of his life. There's nothing left because he lived for the Lord. And it's the same with Joseph. Take Christ out of Joseph's life. We may not even have heard of him. And if his name was mentioned in Scripture, in all probability, we would have read past his name and never given it a second thought. Just another Joseph. But because of his relationship with the Lord Jesus, that has all changed. For you can't understand the life of Joseph apart from Christ. The Lord Jesus was everything to Joseph. Take Christ out of his life, and Joseph is nothing. Take Christ out of the life of any one of us here, and what are we? We're nothing. You think of the people the Lord Jesus met, and those who met him in the Gospels. Take blind Bartimaeus. What would Bartimaeus have been without Christ? He still would have been blind to the day he died. Take Christ out of the life of Saul of Tarsus. What would Saul have been? He would have been a murderer still, persecutor of the church. Still, to the day he died, he would have been the chief of sinners. And Mary Magdalene. If Mary had not known Christ, why, those seven devils that possessed her would have taken her soul into a lost eternity had she not met Christ. Take Christ out of the lives of any one of those that I've mentioned, and what have you left? Nothing. Just guilty, hell-deserving sinners. Take Christ out of your life and out of mine, and what's left? Nothing. So that's what we were before Christ found us. So it was with Joseph. So we have considered then the presence of Christ in Joseph's life. I want you to consider the prominence of Christ in Joseph's life. The prominence of the Lord Jesus in the life of Joseph. I'd like you to turn to Matthew 2. Matthew chapter 2. In verse 13. And these verses show us how, or teach us rather, when we come to read the Scripture, to read it carefully. But look at verse 13 in Matthew 2. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeareth to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt. Verse 14. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt. Now look at verse 20. Saying, the angel has appeared again unto Joseph, saying, arise and take the young child and his mother, and go into the land of Israel. For they are dead which sought the young child's life. And he arose, and he took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. You notice something? Do you notice Christ always comes first? It's not the mother and child. It's not the Madonna and the child. It's not Mary and the child. Joseph took Mary and the child and fled into Egypt. Joseph took Mary and the child and fled back to Israel. No, Christ is always first. And he arose and he took the young child and his mother. Christ comes first. There you have the prominence of the Lord Jesus in the life of Joseph. Christ was first. Paul said the Lord Jesus in all things must have the preeminence. And without a doubt, the Lord Jesus had the preeminence in Joseph's life. So it ought to be with us. The Lord Jesus should always be first. Mary was the woman who was called or described as blessed among women. Mark that. She wasn't blessed above women, as the Church of Rome would teach. She was blessed among women. But the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who was anointed with oil above his fellows. Joseph was the one who gave the Son of God his name, named him Jesus. Jesus, the name high over all. In hell or earth or sky, angels and men before it fall, and devils fear and fly. Ought not that the one who bears that name be first in our lives? Surely he must. He must come first. Joseph may not have dwelt in a palace, but he had a king in his midst. He had a king in his home. He had a king in his heart. Therefore, the Lord Jesus had to come first because he's king. And because the Lord Jesus is King of Kings to us, he's our king, he ought to come first. He was given another name. He was called Emmanuel, God with us. And you think of that home in Nazareth, that humble dwelling place. Joseph could have said to Mary, maybe he did it sometime or other, just imagine Mary, just imagine dear wife, we have Emmanuel in our home, we have God with us in our home. And having God with them, how could he deny then the Lord Jesus first place? He must come first. We also have the Lord Jesus, God, with us. Therefore, let us always give him first place. We may not live in a palace. We may not have a throne there in our homes, but we have a throne in our hearts. Christ deserves to be sitting upon that throne, the throne of our hearts, that he is first, that he takes first place in your life and mine. We've often sung the words, King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be, lest I forget thy thorn crowned brow. Lead me to Calvary. When they nailed him to the cross, they put the sign above his head, King of the Jews. But the Lord Jesus went there for us, and we ought to make him then our King. King of my life, I crown thee now. He had that place of prominence in the life of Joseph. He always came first. And everything Joseph did revolved around the Lord Jesus. And we notice also the pleasures of Christ in Joseph's life. Now, parents get a great deal of pleasure from having children in their home. When the Lord blesses us with children, those children bring us great joy and We take pleasure in them. And of course, Joseph and Mary was no exception. They had the greatest child of all. They had the Lord Jesus. And there he was in their very midst every day. Oh, what pleasures Joseph and Mary received from having Christ in their home. Wherever they went, the Lord Jesus was there. Joseph certainly knew the meaning of the words of the psalmist, Psalm 16, verse 11, in thy presence there is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. The word pleasures there means sweetness. At thy right hand there is sweetness. And all the sweet pleasures that Joseph experienced when he had the Lord Jesus there in his home every day. Every parent likes to hear others speak well of their children, say nice things about their sons or their daughters. Once more, Joseph was no exception. Turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2 and verse 28. Joseph and Mary have taken the Christ child to the temple, and they're waiting for them, led by the Holy Ghost, is Simeon. And Simeon receives the Lord Jesus, takes him up in his arms. And we are told in verse 28, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light, he's speaking about Christ now, to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. He's speaking about Christ. In verse 33 of Luke 2, and Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of him. They marveled when they heard Simeon say these things about their son. They marveled. They were blessed. Simeon blessed them. So they went up to the temple, and they heard wonderful things about the Lord Jesus Christ. And they returned home from the temple blessed. You know, that's the way it should be with us. When we go up to the house of God, go to our temple, and if Jesus Christ is exalted, and the Lord Jesus is lifted up, even as Simeon lifted the Christ child up, then like Joseph and Mary, we also should marvel. It should cause us to marvel because of our relationship with him. We love to hear of the Lord Jesus being exalted. Does our souls good when he is lifted up? And my, when he is lifted up, then we will leave our temple and go home blessed. We've been blessed today. We've seen Christ. He's been lifted up before us. He has been exalted. You have that relationship with the Lord Jesus, and the preaching of Christ will bless your soul. We'll take great pleasure in listening to the Lord Jesus being exalted. What pleasure there is hearing about Christ. That now leads us to our last point. Joseph and his responsibilities to Christ. his reverence, his relationship, now finally his responsibilities. It was his responsibility to be a good and godly earthly father to the Lord Jesus, to the Christ child. Obviously, he must set a good example to the child. We can see his responsibilities to the Christ child magnified in his sacrifices. Every good father from time to time will be called upon to make sacrifices for their children. And that good and godly father, that father that loves his children, will make those sacrifices and take pleasure in making those sacrifices because they're doing it for their child or for their children. You think of Joseph, and think of the sacrifices that Joseph had to make. It was all because of the Lord Jesus. He did it all for Christ. You think of the Lord Jesus being led in a manger. And there's Mary and Joseph. Mary and Joseph had a house. They had a home in Nazareth. They could have been there. But because of the Lord Jesus, they were there staying in a manger. They give up the comfort of their home for the sake of Christ. And spent who knows how long there in a manger, in that place that had been erected for cattle. But because Christ was there, they were there. They sacrificed their home for Christ. After a couple of years, and the departure of the wise men, the Lord told Joseph and Mary to go down into Egypt. There's another sacrifice. He was a carpenter. He wasn't a rich man. He was a poor man, actually. For when he went up to the temple that time and saw Simeon, he didn't go with a lamb. He couldn't afford a lamb. But the Lord took into consideration poor people, and they were allowed to bring two turtle doves, which is what Joseph and Mary brought, indicating their poverty. He was a carpenter. And yet the Lord sent him down into Egypt and to stay there until the Lord brought him word again, so he didn't know how long he would be there. But he made that sacrifice. And once again, he did it for Christ. So we see the sacrifices of Joseph. And it was all for the Lord Jesus. All for Jesus. All for Jesus. The great missionary C.T. Studd said, "If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him." We see his responsibility for the Lord Jesus and to Christ over in Luke chapter 2. You recall when the Lord was 12 years of age. He went along with Joseph and Mary up to Jerusalem. They went there for the Passover. And then after that week had expired, they returned, embarked upon the return journey to Nazareth. You recall how they had gone a day's journey and suddenly discovered that Christ was not in their midst. And Joseph was responsible for the Lord. And like any parent, when you're in the company of people and suddenly your child is no longer at your side, and panic sets in, you're frantic as you go and search for that child. And here you see his responsibility in the fact that he went and searched for Christ. He didn't have Christ in his company. The Lord Jesus was not where he was supposed to be as far as Joseph was concerned, and he spent 3 days looking for him. 1 day passed before he noticed Christ was not there. It took him 3 days to find him. There's a solemn lesson there. We can lose touch with the Lord Jesus in a day. We can lose touch with Christ in a very short time. And we have a responsibility to Christ. We have a responsibility ever to have him by our side and for us to be by his side. If we discover that we're no longer walking with Christ, then it behoves us to seek him and to search for him until we find him. And until once again he's in her company. When Joseph and Mary left the temple, they left with Christ. Look at chapter 2 of Luke and verse 51. And we read, and he went down with them. The Lord Jesus went down with Joseph and Mary. Luke chapter 2, verse 51. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. He went down with them and came to Nazareth. This is the last time that we read about Joseph being actively involved with the Lord Jesus. The last time. This is, as it were, our farewell to Joseph. Apart from those other 4 verses I mentioned, 2 in John, 1 in Matthew, and 1 in Luke, where he's referred to. But this is the last time we see Joseph actively involved with the Lord Jesus. And here he is, leaving Jerusalem, making his way down to Nazareth. And the Lord Jesus is with him. He's going home to Nazareth. He's going home. It's our farewell. And we see him going home. And if someone had have said that day after Joseph and Mary and Christ left for Nazareth, someone had have said, did you see Joseph? Have you seen Joseph? Someone could have replied and said, yes, I've seen him. He's away home. He's away home to be with the Lord. He had gone home with Christ. It's nice to be able to say that when you come to someone's farewell. Be able to say they're at home with the Lord. One other thing we have considered regarding his responsibilities. We have considered his sacrifices and his search and his steps. There's one other thing, his secret. There's something that is kept from us with regard to Joseph. We don't know when he died. In fact, it could have been a very short time after this incident here in Luke 2 that Joseph died and passed away. It's evidently he wasn't present at the cross. He wasn't present at the marriage supper in Cana of Galilee. He's gone home, perhaps, literally, to glory. But where that happened, where and when, we don't know. That is kept a secret. Rather like the burial place of Moses. There's only one person at Moses' funeral. That was the Lord. The Lord was the only one there. And the Lord was the undertaker. For the Lord buried him. And this secret is kept from us regarding Joseph. Of course, that's for a very good reason. It's always a reason when the Spirit of God keeps things from us. But with regard to Joseph, it places an emphasis and our focus upon how he lives for Christ. Joseph lives for Christ. As we said at the beginning, you cannot understand the life of Joseph separate from Christ. And all that's written about him in the Gospels, all that's written about him, apart from knowing that he was of the royal line, he was the son of Jacob, he was a carpenter. We know nothing else except what he did for Jesus Christ. And beloved, to live a life like that, to have a witness like that, to have a testimony like that, to be known only for what we did for the Lord Jesus. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. May the Lord grant us a desire to be more like Joseph. Because as we said last week, Joseph was so like Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Dear loving Father and gracious God, we come again to thee, and Lord, when we look at ourselves in the light of thy word, we examine our lives in the light of the life of this man Joseph and how we live for the Lord Jesus. Oh Lord, we realize just how far short we come. Gracious Lord, we pray that thou will give us a desire, for that desire must come from thee. A desire, Lord, to be more like Christ. Lord, grant by the workings of the Spirit of God and the Word of God in our hearts, we will be conformed to the image of the person of Jesus Christ. Lord, write the Word upon our hearts. Bless every individual here tonight. Bless our whole church family. Be with the Frasers, Lord, as they go out west tomorrow. Grant them traveling mercy. Return them to us again in safety. And Lord, in all the travels that we all may be involved in, we pray that thy good hand will be upon us. And keep us, Lord, as the apple of thine eye. And return us, Lord, to thy house this week. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.